The text for our meditation this morning is a selection from chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great." Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, as much of the book of Revelation, sounds like a scene from perhaps a production by Steven Spielberg, Jack Crystal, or some such neo-apocalyptic work that seemed to take on a certain kind of imagery and identity that finds great appeal. Ghastly scenes, mysterious horses and riders, struggles of epic cosmological proportion. There seems to be a growth in awareness of apocalyptic genre, but one can hardly escape it. From the top echelons of academia down to the grassroots. For example, one can hardly escape it on Saturday mornings as the kiddies tune in to Dungeons and Dragons, He-Man, and the like. And on the top of the scale, one can simply take to book reviews, cinema reviews, and the weekly journals, and there's an increasing number of apocalyptic type material and thought. In the current issue of Time Magazine, for example, two articles are featured. One is a book called The Golden Days by Carolyn C. Another one is called The Sacrifice by Andrei Tarkovsky, a Russian cinematographer. Both of these deal with the topic of the end days, at the end time, and the ensuing period thereafter. Much of the thinking is expressed in mythological terms. And I suggest we are bombarded by neo-paganism, which resurrects into a somewhat sophisticated way the old mythologies of the ancient times. And these old mythologies have with it the desire for security of the future, of providing for one's own welfare and satisfying one's own appetite. And in this mythology, there is the recognition of a need of a sacrifice, that some appetite, perhaps beyond one's own, costly appetite, needs to be satisfied. And so there is the sacrifice of our time and our effort to that higher appetite, the sacrifice of grain, of wine, the blessings of various types. But in our sophistication, this is not enough. We know that these are higher appetites that can't be merely satisfied by food. And so people turn to sacrificing flesh for flesh. They sacrifice their sons and daughters to secure for themselves the guarantee of further productivity and security. And the same mythological thought, neo-pagan thought, continues in our world as sons and daughters are sacrificed in an antiseptic room of hospitals, all in the name of quality of life. We have grown more sophisticated yet because the church has come in and said, and sanctified in the past, has sanctified this kind of mythological thinking that we can guarantee for ourselves security and eternal security by self-sacrifice, by something that we do and contribute to fight against evil and forces. We call this works righteousness. Man has become even more sophisticated. And the church has taken up this line of thought, that the way to provide for security and for self-sacrifice is in the secular arena. This is the new gospel that is being touted. But the church is business, is to transform self, to self-conscientify, the self-transformation. Or we have discovered that the higher appetite is not without us, but it's internal, it's within us. And the power of rejuvenation of society and the transformation of the cosmos is found within every man, within you and within me. And so there is the hope that we are on the brink of the new age, of a mega point, of nirvana. This book by Carolyn Cheese that I mentioned before, The Golden Days, she sees in the Time Magazine show reports that she views this as apocalypse soon, that the apocalypse is upon us, and the problem of society based on male sexual supremacy and dominance, which will bring about the cataclysmic destruction of all things, then the transformation of society will come about in the golden days. The golden age of the old mythology. This Russian cinematographer has something quite similar for in one of the main characters. His view is that somehow sex will transform society. Then when the end does not come, and it's business as usual, the man goes insane. However, hope ever springs eternal in the human breast. And this main character had planted a tree when he heard that it was the end of the world that would come that very day. He went out and planted a tree. I suggest he got this idea from Martin Luther, who was asked, what would you do if you found out today was the last day of the world? I would go out and plant a tree. Apparently, this movie was sacrificed, concluded by the man's son after the supposed cataclysmic destruction did not come about, goes out and waters the tree, and wonderingly asks, as he sees his father parted off in a straitjacket, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. Why is that, Papa? And no answer is given. It's business as usual. Our text provides an answer, and it provides a great big no to all of the neo-pagan thought and mythology of the apocalyptic dreams of utopia and nirvana that is awash today. They got one thing right. All is moving to a grand climax, and it is of cosmological proportion. It is epic. Forces and forces upon forces marching toward cataclysm. That I have everything wrong there. That the Lord is in control, and the destruction which is coming is offered and provided by our Lord. He sets the table. He invites the birds of the air, the eagles, the vultures, to suffer. Come and gorge yourselves on flesh upon flesh. Sacrifice is needed. Not self-sacrifice. A greater appetite must be satiated. What is the greater appetite? The greater appetite is not within, nor is the ability to satisfy that appetite. The greater appetite is the holy justice of the master of the universe, who is none other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the appetite of justice is satisfied not by self-sacrifice, but by the sacrifice of God's Son. And all those who would like to offer themselves in sacrifice will be sacrificed on the heap of the corpses upon corpses and cadavers upon cadavers in the last judgment. And all will be thrown into the black cauldron of God's wrath, his wine press Christ accomplished it. But God offers an invitation to us, to another supper, to the supper of the Lord, is extended to those who have recognized the sacrifice that God has provided. The sacrifice of the Lamb whose raiment is stained with His blood. And He offered His blood to give us true hope past that final war and battle and destruction of all forces of evil, to a real hope of life eternal, in communion and fellowship in the very presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the banquet, the marriage banquet of the Lamb, which we will partake in eternally. In great contrast to this ghoulish banquet of the Lord, as vultures feed upon the flesh of all those who reject the sacrifice of Christ. God invites us to a banquet now, to the banquet of the Lord's Supper, wherein He assures us that He, as Lord of Lords, of Yahweh Sabaoth, brings to us that victory and assurance now. Even now, Satan is being conquered, and all Antichrist and that Antichrist doctrine which replaces self-sacrifice by the sacrifice of Christ, the gospel of Scripture. Satan is now conquered under our feet and will be forever thrown into the lake of fire along with the false prophet Antichrist and of all those political transformationists, the beast described in Revelation. That is the victory for us now. Let us move with the confidence that we know what the end will bring. And it's not a panaceous hope, it is a sure hope of joy. So let's correct those moody end time views with a great joyous exaltation, shouting to the Lord of Lords and acclaiming the King of Kings. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.